Chapter 34 God Killers. We drag the bodies of 7 gods, 2 dead and 5 captured, behind us. I wear the armor of Odin, Sefi the armor of Tyr, Mustang the armor of Freya, all of which we pillaged from the armory on Asgard. Blood smears the stone of the hall. Feet slide and stumble as Sefi jerks one of the living gulls behind us by his hair. Her Valkyrie dragged the rest. We returned to the spires on a shuttle stolen from Asgard, which we slipped through silently, using Loki's codes to access the armory and drape ourselves in the panoply of war before seeking the remaining gods out. 2 we found in Asgard's mainframe, leading a team of Greens attempting to purge Quicksilver's hackers from their system. Sefi, with her new razor, claimed the arm of one and beat the other unconscious, terrifying the Greens, 2 of which held up fists to me as silent acknowledgement of their sympathy for the Rising. With their help, we locked the others in a storage room, as the 2 Green sympathizers connected me directly with Quicksilver's operation room. We didn't reach Quicksilver himself, but Vitra relayed news that Severo's gamble worked. A little more than a third of the Martian defense fleet is under control of the Sons of Ares and Quicksilver's Blues. Thousands of the Society's best troops are trapped on Phobos, but the Jackal is hitting back hard, taking personal command of the remaining ships and recalling forces from the Kuiper Belt to reinforce his depleted fleet. The rest of the golds we located through the station's biometric sensor map in the lower levels. One practicing with her razor in the training rooms. She saw my face and dropped her blade in surrender. Reputation is a fine thing sometimes. The remaining 2 golds we found in the monitoring bays, shifting back and forth between the cameras. They'd only just discovered that the footage was archival from 3 years before. Now, all our gold captives wear magnetic handcuffs and are tied together by long pieces of rope from Sefi's griffin, all gagged, all glancing around at the spires like we've dragged them into the mouth of hell itself. Obsidians of the spires flock to us in the halls, rushing from the deeper levels to see the strange sight. Most would only have seen their gods from a distance, as flashes of gold streaking over the spring snow at Mach 3. Now we come among them, our pulse shields distorting the air, our shuttle's pulse cannons melting open the huge iron doors which closed off the Griffin hangar from the cold. The doors melt inward like the door on the Pax melted when Ragnar offered me stains. This is not how I intended to bring the Obsidians into my fold. I wanted to use words, to come humbly, in sealskin, not armor, putting myself at the mercy of the Obsidians to show Alia that I valued her people's worth, valued their judgment, and was willing to put myself in peril for them. I wanted to do as I preached, but even Ragnar knew that was a fool's errand. And now I don't have time for intransigence or superstition. If Alia will not follow me to war, I'll drag her to it, kicking, screaming, like Lorne before her. For Obsidian to hear, I must speak in the only language they understand. Might. Sefi fires her pulse fist past my head at the doors leading to our mother's sanctuary. The ancient iron buckles, bent and twisted hinges screaming. We flow past an army of prostrate giants who clutter the cavernous halls to either side. So much strength made frail by superstition. Once, when they were stronger, they tried to cross the seas, built mighty canals to carry explorers across the oceans to seek out new lands. The carved monsters the gold sowed in the oceans destroyed each boat, or the golds themselves melted them from the sea. The last boat sailed more than 200 years ago. We come upon Alia as she sits in council with her famed 7 and 70 war chiefs. They turn to us now amidst large smoking braziers. Huge warriors with white hair to the waists, arms bare, iron buckles on waists, huge axes on backs. Black eyes and rings studded with precious metals glitter in the low light. But they're too stunned by the sight of the 300-year-old iron doors suddenly glowing orange and melting away to speak or kneel. I draw up before them, still dragging the corpses of the golds behind me. Mustang and Seffi hurl their captured golds forward, kicking out their legs. They sprawl on the ground and stumble to their feet, attempting beyond all reason to maintain some dignity here, surrounded by giant savages in the smoky room. "Are these gods?" I roar through my helmet. No one answers. Alia moves slowly through the parting warlords. "Am I a god?" I snarl, this time removing my helmet. Mustang and Seffi remove theirs. Alia sees her daughter in the armor of her gods, and she flinches back. Fear whispers over her lips. She stops near the five bound and gagged golds as they finally find their feet. They stand over 2 meters tall, but even bent and old as Alia is, she's a head taller than I. She stares down at the men and women who are once her gods, before looking up at her last daughter.
"Child, what have you done?"
Seffi says nothing, but the razor on her arm slithers, drawing the eyes of every obsidian. One of their greatest daughters carries the weapon of the gods. "Queen of the Valkyrie," I say, as if we had never met. "My name is Darrow of Lycos, blood brother of Ragnar Valaris. I am the warlord of the Rising, which rages against the false golden gods. You have all seen the fires that rage around the moon. Those are caused by my army. Beyond this land, in the abyss, a war rages between slaves and masters. I came here with the greatest son of the spires to bring the truth to your people." I wave to the golds, who stare at me with the hatred of an entire race. "They struck him down before he could tell you that you are slaves. The prophets he sent told it true. Your gods are false."
"Liar!"
someone screams. A shaman with crooked knees and a bent spine. He babbles something else, but Seffi cuts him off.
"Liar!" Mustang hisses. "I have stood upon Asgard. I have seen where your immortals sleep, where your immortals rot and eat and shit."
She twists the pulse fist in her hand.
"This is not magic."
She activates her grav boots, floating in the air. The obsidians stare at her in wonder.
"This is not magic. This is a tool."
Alia sees what I have done, what I have shown her daughter, and what I have now brought her people, whether she wants it or not. We're the same cruel kind. I told myself I would be better than this. I failed that promise. But noble vanity can shine another day. This is war, and victory is the only nobility. I think that is what Mustang was looking for here with obsidians. She was more afraid that I would allow my own idealism let something loose that I could not control. But now she sees the compromise I'm willing to make, the strength I'm willing to exert. That's what she wants in an ally as much as she wants a builder, someone wise enough to adapt. And Alia? She sees how her people look at me, how they look at my blade, still stained with the blood of the gods, as though it were some holy relic. And she also knows I could have made her complicit in the gold's crime, could have accused her before her people, but instead I offer her a chance to pretend she is just learning this for the first time. Lamentably, my friend's mother does not take the offer. She steps toward Seffi.
I carried you, birthed you, nursed you. And this is my reward? Treason? Blasphemy? You are no Valkyrie.
She looks at her people.
These are lies. Free our gods from the usurpers. Kill blasphemers. Kill them all.
But before the first war chief can even draw their blade, Seffi steps forward, lifts the razor I gave her, and decapitates her mother. Alia's head falls to the floor, eyes still open. The woman's huge body remains standing. Slowly, it tips backward and thuds to the ground. Seffi stands over the fallen queen and spits on the corpse. Turning back to her people, she speaks for the first time in 25 years.
She knew.
Her voice is deep and dangerous, hardly rising above the level of a whisper, yet it owns the room as surely as if she roared. Then tall Seffi turns away from the golds, walks back through the gaggle of war chiefs to the griffin throne, where her mother's fabled war chest has sat unopened for 10 years. There, she bends and takes the lock in her hands and roars gutturally, like a beast, as she pulls at the rusted iron till her fingers bleed and the iron crumbles apart. She throws the old lock to the ground and rips open the chest, pulling free the old black scarab skin her mother used to conquer the White Coast. Pulling free the red scale cloak of the dragon her mother slew in her youth, and hoisting high her great black double-headed axe of war called Throgmir. The rippling gleam of durosteel catches in the light. She stalks back to the golds, dragging the axe on the ground behind her. She motions to Holiday, who removes the gags from the mouths of the golds.
Are you a god?
Seffi asks, her tone so different from her brother's, direct and cold as a winter storm.
You will burn, mortal, the man says. If you do not release us, Aesir will come from the sky and rain fire upon your land. This you know. We will wipe your seed from the worlds. We will melt the ice. We are the mighty. We are the peerless Skard. And this millennium belongs to...
Seffi slays him there with one giant swing, cleaving him nearly in twain. Blood sprays my face. I do not flinch. I knew what would happen if I brought them here. I also know there's no way I could keep them as prisoners. The golds built this myth, but now it must die. Mustang moves closer to me, her sign that she accepts this, but her eyes are fixed on the golds. She will remember this slaughter for the rest of her life. It is her duty and mine to make it mean something. Part of me mourns the death of these golds. Even as they die, they make these other, taller mortals still seem so much lesser. They stand straight, proud. They do not quake in their last moment, in this smoky room so far from their estates, where they rode horses as children and learned the poetry of Keats and the wonder of Beethoven and Vollmer. A middle-aged gold woman looks back at Mustang.
You let them do this to us? I fought for your father. I met you when you were a girl. And I fell in his reign.
She glares at me and begins to recite with a loud, clear voice the Aeschylus poem the peerless Skard use at times as a battle cry.
Up and lead the dance of fate. Lift the song that mortals hate. Tell what rights are ours on earth, over all of human birth. Swift of foot to avenge are we, he whose hands are clean and pure. Naught our wrath to dread hath he.
One by one they fall to Sephi's axe, until only the woman is left, her head held high, her words ringing clear. She looks me in the eye, as sure of her right as I am of mine.
Sacrifice, obedience, prosperity.
Sephi's axe sweeps through the air, and the last god of Asgard flops to the stone floor. Over her body towers the blood-spattered princess of the Valkyrie, terrible and ancient with her justice. She bends and removes the tongue of the female gold with a crooked knife. Mustang shifts beside me in discomfort. Sephi smiles, noticing Mustang's unease, and walks away from us to her dead mother. She takes the woman's crown and ascends the steps to the throne, bloody axe in one hand, glass crown in the other, and sits inside the ribcage of the griffin, where she crowns herself.
Children of the spires, the Reaper has called us to join him in his war against false gods. Do the Valkyrie answer?
In reply, her Valkyrie raise their blue feathered axes high above their heads to drone out the obsidian chant of death. Even the war chiefs of fallen Alia join. It seems the ocean itself crashes through the stone hallways of the spires, and I feel the drums of war beating inside, chilling my blood.
Then ride, Hjelda, Tharul, Veni, and Hroga. Ride, Faldir, and Urona, and Bolga, to the tribes of the Blood Coast, to the Bleaking Moor, the Shattered Spine, and the Witch Pass. Ride to kin and enemy alike, and tell them Sephi speaks. Tell them Ragnar's prophets told true. Asgard has fallen. The gods are dead. The old oaths have been broken. And tell all who will hear. The Valkyrie ride to war.
As the world swirls around us, and the ecstasy of war fills the air, Mustang and I look at one another with darkened eyes and wonder just what we have unleashed.